this stuff together.
Why not, yeah? Good evening and welcome. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, and we are at the authority headquarters, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. Roll call, Sean Lambert.
Here.
Cameron Gokas.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3A, the minutes of February 5th, 2019 business meeting. Are there any corrections or comments?
I have one.
Okay.
The manager's report towards the end of the first block paragraph there. Maybe three or four sentences from the bottom of that. It says Director Carlton continued that he hadn't anticipated on seeing candidates this quickly, so he was not worried. What I said was I didn't have any anticipation on finding a candidate that fast, so I'm definitely worried about it. I just didn't expect it to happen fast. So maybe we could change that to not surprised as opposed to not worried. I think that would better capture what I was saying. That was my thank you.
Anyone else with a correction or comment? Okay, I have a comment regarding we had one abstention at the last meeting, and I looked into that because that was concerning to me based on some reading that I had done prior. And within the Attorney General's Public Records and Meetings Manual published in 2014 last, there is a couple of sentences that says members of boards, commissions, or councils are obviously appointed to make decisions. To abstain is to fail to perform a most important function given to a board member. Absent compelling circumstances, for example, the conflict of interest problems, board members should not abstain from voting. And that is echoed in the SDAO information, and we haven't set that up in our board responsibilities or clarified it within our board responsibilities, but I feel like the fact that it is in the public meetings manual and it's backed by case law that we need to not only adhere to it, but we need to get it into our documentation.
So it's been our policy. Well, let me back up. What we have done in the past is we have abstained when we haven't been present for a meeting.
Correct.
Right. That's the only time we have. Well, unless somebody had a conflict of interest.
That's what was going on here.
No.
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, was this? Okay. Right.
So are there, is there any concern about that or any questions about that?
Yeah, I guess I have a question on it. So I'll have to go back since you brought that up. I'd like to go back and read that in the manual. It seems a little, it seems odd to me. So, I mean, I understand the philosophy. We're elected board members. We have a responsibility. We should vote yes or no. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind looking into that. I understand the philosophy, but I'm not sure I'm on board with it.
Well, it's been a long time since I've looked at Robert's Rules of Order, but isn't that addressed?
Robert's
is
Rules
that
of
addressed
orders,
in there? It's just conduct of meetings.
Robert's Rules of Orders of Order addresses it with regards to majority vote and using an abstention as forcing a yes or a no. And that particular issue is clarified with regards to majority and quorum as opposed to abstention. Oh. And that's where the gray lines have been before.
Okay.
Boards and commissions and councils where a council member might choose to try to abstain in order to force a vote to go a particular way without taking a position on it. And that has been clarified so that that doesn't happen by clarifying quorums and voting processes. Abstentions are also used to, according to the literature that I've read this last week, to try to put oneself in a political position of favor with a particular subgroup. And that's where I believe the Oregon Handbook on Public Meetings was trying to clarify that, that as an elected member or an appointed member of a board, you have a responsibility to make decisions, and abstaining is not making a decision. And it's a fiduciary responsibility to make these decisions, and therefore abstentions are discouraged and not disallowed as the public meetings handbook, but it is encouraged that the individual boards identify which Robert's Rules of Orders they're following and clarify particular issues of this in terms of what is appropriate behavior.
I think that would be where my question would be, the difference between discourage and disallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we could have some time to go and look at that.
Sure.
Before we make any, but I mean, I'm not opposed to making a policy, but I'd like to spend some time looking at that. If you don't mind.
Okay. Yes.
When I went to my class, when George Dunkel was there, he had explained that you have every right to be able to abstain.
I think that he, at least the literature that I've seen, because SDAO encourages their board members not to abstain, and they're pretty clear about it, but abstaining when there is a conflict of interest is encouraged. And at that point, when you abstain due to a conflict of interest, you have to voice what that conflict of interest is.
And is there a specific carve-out for abstaining when you weren't present for a meeting?
It is mentioned in some of the documents, but I'm not sure which ones. I can't reference you which ones, but yes, if you don't attend a meeting and you're asking to vote on those meeting minutes, you should abstain, correct? Yeah.
Or if there's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, those are the two.
But the conflict of interest wouldn't be in approving meeting minutes.
Right.
The conflict
right.
of interest yeah. would be in making a decision on policy.
But
or budget or
right, correct.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to look into that.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Anything else? I'll move that we approve the minutes of the February 5th, 2019 business meeting.
As corrected.
As corrected.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of February 5th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4A, accounts payable for February 5th, February 15th, and February 28th of 2009. Are there any questions about the accounts payable?
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for February 5th, February 15th, and February 28th, 2019.
I second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for February 5th, February 15th, and February 28th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions for the authority manager?
I wanted to point out and talk a little bit briefly about the system development charges in the 04 and 05 accounts. They're pretty low compared to what we budgeted. I mean, clearly that's a reflection of not having many. But is there a concern? I mean, you know, that's part of how we, you know, pay for some of the things that we need to do. Mm-hmm. So is there a concern that that's so significantly low?
Well, first of all, the manager's report, I reported that there were three, but there's actually five. And Rochelle and Michelle have told me that there are several other people that have contacted the office regarding new water and sewer services. You know, we're more than halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Michelle or Rochelle, what have you guys seen anything more?
I don't know if we'll make it to 20, but I think over 10 is definitely possible.
Yeah. And we budget for 20 or 18 or?
I think we budgeted for 20.
15, I thought.
Yeah.
I have to see it right there. So 15. But the monies that you're talking about that we've been putting into those funds hasn't been spent because of the wastewater treatment project that we've been on. So we've been accumulating all of those funds over the last few years, and we haven't done a major project out of either one of those.
Right.
So.
But we've got some big ones potentially on.
Potentially, but so we have a couple million dollars already. In those funds, so concern, not yet.
Okay.
What are we budgeted? I mean, what did we figure for next year as far as kind of housing? We figured, what, 15 this year? How many?
We don't have a budget.
We don't have a budget for next year.
But we came up with a number of how many that we thought that might be built or bought.
Yeah, we haven't done that research yet for the budget for next fiscal year.
It's upcoming, right?
All right, yeah. I mean, every year it seems it's got to take over. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Building, it's like a crapshoot.
Yep.
Seems like it's gangbusters now, but, yeah.
We went through several years where there were only two or three.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to hit. Mm-hmm. That nail right on the head.
It is, but you know, if we've got major projects ahead, which right. we've got $20 million of master plan projects, you know, those are some potential
that's
funds we could use for it, right? And
true, and that's where the fees come from as well.
Some of it, for sure.
If we were to update our master plan, the SDC fees would go up considerably based on having 5 to 10.
And it, was that figured on the Ridge Street project up on top of the Cape there too?
What's that?
The Ridge, the housing, the water, that part of the
Ridge Road.
Ridge Road. That's as far as the water and the sewer goes.
That's kind of
those are in the master plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
But that's a potential pool of money that we can tap for making those kinds of improvements, right?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? On the fiscal year report.
Have any?
Sean?
No.
Okay. All right, then. Item 5, manager's report.
Well, item number one, I just wanted to point out that the DEQ did the tour of the wastewater treatment plant upgrade a couple of weeks ago. They were here for about 2.5 or 3 hours going through a lot of different things and just seeing how the project was coming and wanting to make sure that things were being built as designed and we weren't leaving things out that we needed, and I assured them that we were not. So, item number 200, drinking water program. We have done another round of disinfection byproducts sampling last week. It's going to be probably 2 or 3 more weeks before we get results, I'm guessing. And the important thing to remember is that even if this round of disinfection byproducts are for haloacetic acids are under the maximum contaminant level, if we're still over on the running annual average for that location, we still have to issue a notice of violation. There's been some confusion. I've received a lot of emails, a lot of people have talked to me, and I try to make it clear that even though we might be under the MCL for the HAA5s, if the running annual average is not under, we have to post this again. So I won't know that for 2 to 3 weeks yet.
To get the results back. Yeah.
Right.
I would assume that annual running average is in the law.
Yes,
because it keeps a water source from spiking or choosing, trying to plan for different things. So that if a water facility is really out of whack, they might be able to hide it, but you can't hide it on the running annual average. So it's a mathematical function that they're doing to make sure that somebody isn't trying to get around the law.
Mm-hmm. So we test in the same spots, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, we, yes, we're required to test in the same spot. And we've been testing in those same spots for 20 years, over 20 years. And this was the first time we ever had an excursion.
Because a lot of people were asking me about why aren't they flushing lines? Well, it's, you know, quarterly, you flush the lines. And
yeah, well, we've been flushing that line on a more regular basis because there is a possibility that there's a water quality impairment. We want to make sure that until we get results back that we're continuing to get fresh water into that area.
Well, they asked me that after the flushing in that area, they said that their lines were dark and stuff like that. And I recommended filters on a filter system between the meter and their house. Is there a way, I mean, like to get it out to the public, just to let them know? Because when you're pushing the water through, you're pushing it out to...
When we do a whole distribution system flushing, we send out notices. This is kind of a random, small, little area. Right.
Because they were saying, you know, because of the line, you know, because it just keeps pushing it out, it just goes till it stops and still goes.
Anytime you flush a line, you're going to have...
Where it pushes
you're going to stir it up. Sure, I'll send it up.
Sure,
the line.
And but I said that, you know, maybe get it in the... billing or something, just a reminder to maybe think about putting a filter system.
Mm-hmm. You mean that homeowners could put a filter?
Right.
No.
I think they can consider that. I don't think we as board members can recommend it.
Right.
Yeah.
But just to think about it. I mean,
but that's one way.
It's not a bad thing to tell them to look into, because they can research that and get talk to a plumber and talk about those if they're particularly concerned about their own house.
Well, the water, you know, it's all, you know, you take responsibility also yourself.
No.
You should, anyway, but, yeah. I suggested a filter system. Yeah.
So, anything else on that? Any other questions?
No.
Item number three is office remodel, which Michelle and I have actually been talking about for a number of years. And Michelle has done a lot of research and tried to contact as many contractors as possible, and with as busy as contractors are, we received two bids, and they're attached in your board packet. The lowest bid that we received was from Pacific City Homes Incorporated, and I would recommend going forward with this so we can get the remodel done.
Can you give just a summary of why? What is it that we're, why are we looking to do a remodel?
A couple of reasons. One, the carpet is 20 some years old, and we would like to have that replaced with some vinyl planking that would serve us better as far as keeping it clean and the dust particles out. Two, the small remodel that we're doing in the office is to give us some more space. We've got a lot of dead space up there because it's not efficient. Like the counter area, that's a huge dead space. We don't have enough customers coming in to make that valid. The MCC section of all the electrical that you guys don't see is going away, and we're going to use that for storage to also alleviate some problems. But one of the major issues has always been Mr. Owen's office. When a customer walks in the door and they see him right there, they start talking, and he may be busy or doesn't have time at the moment and would like an appointment, especially with salespeople. They fail to read the sign on the gate that says sales by appointment only. So we're going to move that door over to the other side and rearrange his office so that he does have some peace and quiet. It also alleviates enough space for one more desk in there that either the operators can use or if we ever receive an assistant manager.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
I had a question on the numbers, and I don't know all the details of all of this, but Pacific City Homes bid appeared to come in two different sections, which made sense. The first section appeared to be the actual construction and painting, that sort of thing. The second section seemed to be more flooring. Okay, now I've just lost it. And so, and then the next bid had everything rolled in together, which is one issue. They were more, but the third piece of third item that we had in here from a flooring company in Tillamook
was just the floor.
Was just the floor.
Right.
Okay.
There's reasons for that. One, the other contractor wouldn't split it up for us, and when I asked him a couple of times, this is the most I could get. The flooring company, we originally were just talking to flooring companies. We weren't thinking about doing the whole project together. And the more we talked about it, and when we saw what the flooring was going to cost, then we started going, let's do the whole thing. Let's do it all at once. And we threw the flooring in there just so that you would have something to compare to Pacific City Homes flooring.
Okay.
Now, Pacific City Homes has a lower price per square foot on the flooring than the other bid, but
I noticed that, and I was wondering if they're comparable materials.
I believe that they're comparable materials. I do. I just think there's a $2 pricing difference, and I think one was he was a little bit overpriced, but then his labor was better. So, but with that, I would prefer not to have two different companies trying to come in. First of all, it's going to take 3 days to do one section, and we have to move in here for a while. So if I have two different companies coming in and trying to coordinate that, maybe...
Yeah, I was thinking about that option, and it seemed really not worth...
It's not efficient.
The difference.
$2,500
to try to get two different companies to coordinate the steps involved in that, because something has to happen first, and then somebody's got to come in and do all this, and then the other thing.
Right.
And it just that seemed not reasonable to...
And we have a strategy now that we're that far, if the board approves this.
Yeah. How much time are we talking?
A week? You mean in construction?
Yeah, I mean from start to finish.
Mr. Baxter? You're right here on the floor.
Yeah, we're probably...
I'd say more like three. Okay. We're going to go through sheetrock and paint all that.
Okay, I was dreaming.
That's
right. So the office function would have to move into this room during that entire time?
Yeah.
Would be more efficient, right?
Yeah, well, Ian and I even have been talking, I'm not sure if Ian talked to Tony, but we had even thought it might even be a good thing to get one of those GE trailers or something as a temporary office or something like that and get you guys like completely out of here.
You'd have to put us in the front parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to go out in the front parking lot.
It couldn't go right there.
How are you going to get the customers in?
Yeah, you have to be able to talk to customers. In this business, you do.
Appointment only.
Right.
Yeah, how's this
temporary office, please come in. I've never rented one of those. I have no idea what that would add to the price of the whole thing, but it'd be nicer to be in here if you could. Is that actually doable?
Oh, yeah, we can move
all the office functions, computers.
Although some work is in this room.
Right.
Later.
We were kind of thinking we'd just move everything in here. All of that could get done, and then we could move out into the finished area. I know that there are certain steps that it would be good to take up all the carpet all at once, which that can be done. I mean, there's concrete underneath
there. Yeah.
and there's other, you know, cost savings in having it all done at once. But practically, I think we're going to probably have to move into here.
You do have the door there and a door here, in and out. So.
Right.
Michelle, I'm assuming too that when you said you first thought about just doing the flooring and then got more thoughtful about it, that if you're doing flooring now and in 5 years then do another change to counters or an office wall or whatever, you've got added cost. It's not
exactly.
Just cost because you're moving things that need flooring underneath them to be. So
right.
To do it both now would be more cost effective, and not only in terms of dollars and construction and reconstruction later on, but also in terms of timing and having to move in and out of the office just once.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
On one of the bids, there's a note from Pacific City Homes that says electrical plumbing work by others. Is there anticipated plumbing and electrical work?
There's some electrical. I think you've got to move a couple of outlets where a door is going to go.
Okay.
Minor, very minor.
And plumbing?
I can't think of any plumbing
either. That's maybe just a standard line you put in things.
We'll have to take up the toilets to put the floor down. I mean, but they go right back on.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody can take them out, but you have to have somebody certified to put them back on.
You do?
Yeah.
They didn't tell me that when I built my house.
Maybe a roof will
warm all the night.
Codes change.
Thank you for that.
Okay, any other questions on the office we now want to do? Someone want to propose a motion?
Okay, I will move that we approve Pacific City Homes low bid of $32,170 for the office remodel.
I'll second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the Pacific City Homes low bid of $32,170 for an office removal.
Remodel.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Me.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you.
Item number four, wellhead protection for the dune wells. I'm in the process of getting some quotes for the split rail fencing around the dune wells. This is part of our management plan for the RMPP lease, as mandated by the drinking water program to help protect water sources. I only have one quote at this point. I need to get on getting at least one or two more so we can get moving on this. Item number five, the trail on the BLM property. This was also a part of our management plan that we submitted to BLM for the RMPP, and majority of that trail, that hiking trail, is now done. Carolyn McVicker with PC Pathways, Tillamook Off-Road Trail Alliance, Torta, Josh Venti with Bros and Hoes Landscaping have all been working coordinated on this project to get this done. There's all of the upper land trail stuff is done for the initial trail. There's just some of the lower land stuff that has to be figured out exactly where that's going to go. But I haven't had the time to go up there yet, but everybody I've talked to that's been up there just says it's incredible.
Cool.
That's great.
Really nice.
That's,
thanks to all.
It's a milestone. Mm-hmm. We've been working on that BLM property project for many, many, many years.
Yep.
And the money to build that trail comes from PC Pathways that did all the years of pentathlons.
Mm-hmm.
And all the years of Reach the Beach parking, Leonard was a big part of that for many years. So thank you to all of those people for making that happen.
Yeah.
That's all I have in the manager.
Okay. Item 6A, unfinished business, wastewater treatment improvement project.
I just noted that there's more startup activities happening this week. We're starting up a new UV, the filter holding tank, and new aerobic digesters. So that'll be going on for the rest of the week.
Great.
Item 2 under unfinished business is community engagement and outreach, and on that I dropped the ball. Anna's document came into me on Friday. I was out of town.
Oh, okay.
And I tried to email it to Tony from my cell phone, and it didn't go through because I was on an unsecured network. And then by the time I got back to town late Sunday night, I totally forgot about it. So I will get that to Tony, and we'll get that out to the board.
Okay.
Again, I think it's very important that we're clear that this is community engagement and outreach and isn't hiring a PR firm to do PR work. But I will get that to you this week. All right. Item 7, guest questions and comments.
None.
Okay. Item 8, chair director comments.
I've got a question.
Sure.
On my email, I wound up getting a sludge dewatering belt that was sent to me.
Oh yeah, I got that too. It's a filter system of some sort. And it looked like somebody had searched for our email addresses.
I received the same thing.
Slapped it out there.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever seen anything like that since we got our email addresses. But
it's because your email address hasn't been on the web.
Now it's on the web.
Oh, I get crap from Lorman Education all the time.
Trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Trucks.
I get all sorts of junk mail.
And then small claims. Mm-hmm. We've got a small claim. That's part of the filter with the gentleman.
We had a customer that asked for reimbursement of a water filter because of the HAA5 and claimed that high chlorine destroyed his water filter to his refrigerator. That was subsequently brought to the board. The board denied his request. Following that, he filed a small claims in Tillamook County against us for the filter as well as doctor visits. I have opposed that claim on behalf of the board of directors, and my scheduled court date is on the 21st.
Of this month?
Correct.
So have we ever had something like that happen before in a small claims? So this would be the first.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So hopefully that this doesn't set a precedent, or
does what set a precedent?
Small claims. Everybody's going to start taking this small.
Anybody can sue anybody for anything.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it.
But there's not. I don't imagine there's like a history of this. Anybody else?
Not
in their water districts.
Not with us.
Other water districts, or that you would know of, or
no.
No, I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
I have a couple things. First, I was reviewing the consultant timeline on the performance evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that sometime soon we'll start hearing from him. March 1st was going to be reaching out to board members, and I know that was a Friday. So
at 4:10 this afternoon, I had an email from Ryan that I need to review and get back to him.
Okay,
he's drafted to get out to you guys.
Okay, great.
Great.
Perfect. And then the second thing is I just wanted to throw out for discussion or a suggestion. Maybe it might not be a bad idea to do our asbestos tasting once a year as opposed to once every 9 years.
Or asbestos sampling?
Sampling, sorry, yeah.
Tasting.
It's supposed to be testing. Tasting works too. This might not be a bad idea.
You throw a little wish of wine there
yeah.
between drinks.
Okay, so help me understand a bad idea in terms of that it's
well, we have,
or a bad idea in terms
well, of... Well, we have asbestos pipe. Asbestos is a fairly well-known concern, and I don't think that once every 9 years seems to make sense given the level of concern that's out there over it. So I think doing it more frequently than once every 9 years would be a good idea.
That's interesting that you say that, because I have I did some research this week due to some an email that we've all received, mm-hmm. and one of the issues was on asbestos, and I searched through the PubMed, which is the search engine for Medline, mm-hmm. which is a combination of the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health, and it attracts articles, scientific articles from all over the world. And in that, there were only three that popped up with regards to asbestos in drinking water. One of them was done in 2013 in Italy. And the study results showed a very low concentration of free asbestos fibers in water samples examined, and no difference in mortality, morbidity due to GI cancers were detected compared to the national population. I looked at another one with asbestos concentrations in water, and this was from 1996 in Austria. And they were looking at both asbestos in water because of what they call AC pipe, and also asbestos in water because of where the water source is. And what they found is in areas without natural deposits, the increase of asbestos concentrations from origin to consumer of water was not significant and unrelated to water aggressiveness, age, and length of asbestos pipes. The third one, which is an old one from 1981, has to do with asbestos fibers in drinking water from asbestos cement pipes. And the sample in Connecticut stated the use of AC pipe in public water supplies and the incidence of gastrointestinal cancer showed no obvious correlations. And in another sub-study within this study, they showed possible release of fibers from pipe walls, and the amount of release appeared not to be significant influenced by the existing fiber level in the water before the flow through the pipes. The other piece related to asbestos that in general talks about the overall issue with asbestos and water, asbestos pipe, water and asbestos pipe, is not the general concern is not about asbestos fibers in drinking water. The concern is employees, utility employees, having to make repairs on pipes because that's when the asbestos goes into the air. They have not been able to find enough asbestos in the water from an asbestos pipe that is a high enough concentration that the fibers leave the water and then get inhaled. And it would only be if that fiber left the water and got inhaled would it be a problem. And all of that together is why the regulations are every 9 years for testing and not more often. So that's...
I would think that the agency that requires the testing and sets that calendar would be well aware that type of piping was a standard for a lot of years in the industry, and that as soon as that standard changed, not every water district was going to go out and immediately replace all of that. So in my own mind, it's factored into the agency, their analysis of what that schedule should be.
How much cost and how
yeah,
much does it take?
I was coming to that.
I don't know what it costs.
And that's why I asked the question the last meeting, because I don't disagree with anything you said. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about public perception.
Sure.
I guarantee there will be not another person in this community that reads through the articles that you read through. I'm strictly talking from public perception standpoint. For whatever couple hundred bucks it costs to do it, to me it makes sense to do it once a year from a public perception standpoint, period.
Safety standard, safety.
What does it cost to do that? Is that a standalone test or is it part of a group?
No, it's a standalone.
Could you maybe find out, let us know at the next meeting what the cost would be?
That'd be great.
So then we know what we're talking about?
Yes, and I think the other thing too is to share with the public is that in all the asbestos testing that's been done, there has been no amount traceable. If you go to the drinking water site, you can actually look up the amounts. And it's just not traceable.
It's never been detected.
It's never been detected.
Never been detected in our water.
Yeah.
Right. And again.
But again, the public.
It's public perception. Yeah. And the magnitude of the public's concern for asbestos is significantly greater than the actual risk to the public.
Just the word.
So from a simple peace of mind standpoint, in my mind, as long as the test isn't prohibitively cost. Prohibitive, I think it would be a good thing to do. So I throw that out for suggestion.
Okay, and so I just want to, I understand completely what you're suggesting, and I'm not saying that it's a bad idea, but I want to underscore this with the board of directors that any voluntary sampling and testing that's done has to go to the drinking water program. There have been a lot of utilities that have done this kind of thing, and actually it worked in reverse for them because there were some, they were in good faith doing extra sampling every month or every year or whatever, and they had some excursions on some things, and it ended up driving utilities into emergency repairs and fix it kind of things. And I just want to be very clear on that. We do extra testing on our coliform every month. We're only required to do one, but we do two, and they're in completely different areas of the collector or the distribution system, because that to me is something that's important. So I'm not opposed to it. I just want everybody to be aware.
Yeah. But an excursion would be potentially indicative of a problem, would it not?
Potentially, yes.
So, I mean, right. So it would be something that should be addressed, correct?
Yeah.
Proactive.
So,
yeah.
I hear you.
How much of our pipes that are still in the ground have asbestos in them? Because I'm sure over years you've replaced things and... like a ballpark, like
as far as how many feet, or
I don't know, just anything.
I'm gonna say
that we can relate to.
Jessica, there's probably we have 2 to 3 miles of asbestos pipe
left
in our system. Would be my
out of how many miles of total miles of pipe?
I think it's less than 10%, or right about 10%.
Okay, yeah. That's nice to know, though, that we aren't still running a system on 75-80% of asbestos. But, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're still with the director comments. So, the board received a... Does anybody else want to go?
No.
Okay, the board received an email this week with a number of issues in it. And I feel... responsible to not only the board and my colleagues here, but also the public to correct the misinformation that is in this particular email. So bear with me, it's going to take me a little bit to get through this. But I think we need to have, since the email is now part of the public record, that we need to have the facts corrected in the public record. So one of the things mentioned in this email was that the public had asked about the master plan many times and never were given a straight answer. The master plans have been discussed in many public meetings. A copy of the plans are at the library. And toward the end of the plans, in both plans are a list of future capital projects, replacements, upgrades, all with estimated costs as of the year that the plans were developed. And so anybody can go and look at that, and I feel like we've shared that information. Another comment was hiring a PR firm is just another example of wasted money, as is hiring an assistant manager and now a full-time office assistant. And there was some comparison in this email to other authorities. So PCJWSA currently has 9 employees, correct? Okay. And I don't think that a comparison of the number of employees we have or anything about them is equal to the comparison in the email, which is the City of Tillamook. Because the City of Tillamook allows the utility, water, and sewer to have legal, financial, administrative overhead, planning overhead, that Tony and Michelle are mostly responsible for here.
Because there's a city government.
Because there's a city government
is what you're talking about.
And so there, the comparison in terms of the number of personnel, Tillamook Utilities personnel, they have 15 employees. And they have, as of 2000, they had, as of the 2000 census, which is the latest data that was posted, they had 2,037 households. If we were to compare that to PCJWSA, we have about 75% of their households, and 75% of their 15 employees would be 11.25 employees. So if we had 11.25 employees, we still wouldn't even have the overhead accessories that we would have. So compared to Tillamook, we are way understaffed. If you look at unincorporated Tillamook County, the Neatarts Oceanside Sewer District has 8 employees, and that's sewer only. And the Oceanside Water District, which serves 800 ratepayers, has 4 employees. So together, an Oceanside resident, water and sewer combined, is less than 1,179 customers. And they have 12 employees together. And their base rate for a bill for the month is $110. So again, they have 12 employees, we have 9, and our charges are less. So even when you do compare us to other utilities locally, I think we're doing really well. Another assertion in the email was that we hired 2 PR firms. We have not hired 2 PR firms. We have hired an HR consultant to assist us with revisions of the authority manager review process and to bring us up to best practices level. We did meet with a public relations specialist to discuss the options and process of community outreach plan, which is focused on education and sharing of information. We'll be reviewing that proposal. There was an assertion in the email that stated our manager and office manager get well above the upper salaries for those in large municipalities. And this, the writer of this email didn't understand why he would be charged for their time. The last date I looked at Portland Utility Director, being that that's our large municipality in the state of Oregon, and in 2013, our authority manager's salary was half of what Portland's was. I don't consider that above and beyond for comparison. Also, our request for public information conforms to Oregon law and policies similar. The policy is similar to other water and sewer districts. And when we put our policy together for a public information request, we followed the guidelines from SDAO and had it checked with legal counsel. There was an assertion that our staff is not as qualified as other staff. When I looked at the sewer side and looked at us in comparison with Tillamook and Neatarts Oceanside,
I found that compared to Tillamook, both Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority and Tillamook each have one person at grade level 4 and two people at grade level 3. With Neatarts Oceanside, there are three at grade 2 and one at grade and three at grade 1. They aren't all treatment and collection, whereas here we're all treatment and collection, and in Tillamook, some of them are treatment only and some of them are collection only. So I think we are as good, if not better, than both of the comparisons. On the water side, a similar thing. In PCJWSA, we have 71% of our staff is certified, and Tillamook, 38% of their staff are certified. We have 4 people at level 2. Tillamook has 4 people at level 2. They're 25% larger. We have a better level of certification. So I disagree with the assertion that we are deficient in our certifications. Another point to be added there is that we do not hire for certification only. We offer certification through training. We encourage certification for training and education, and our evaluations are merit-based. There was an assertion that the author of the email said that they looked up whether or not we had asbestos pipe, which took them 5 minutes, and that in the master plan the asbestos pipes were not mentioned. And in the water master plan, asbestos pipes are mentioned on page 7, page 11, 31, 32, 33, 42, 44, 45, 49, 54, 40, 42, 65, and 66. And also it clarifies how many linear feet, the diameter of the pipe, and the location of that particular pipe. We've already talked about testing and the asbestos research. And then at the end of the email, there were a number of citations with regards to chemicals and water. The citations appeared to be all from a single RTF file. And when I looked up, and most of them non-scientific, when I looked up one article that was scientific, it was written in 1984, and the quote that was included in the email with regards to that article was not what the article was about, and was not what the study concluded. The study concluded no direct connections, but encouraged additional research, and it was based on data from the EPA, which is we are following our guidelines. Our guidelines are part of the EPA standards. So I had a hard time seeing how any of that was viable or relevant. Also, there was a website to take a look at with regards to harmful effects of chlorine. The website was filterwater.com, and the sites makes the statements that they do without scientific identification or identification of specific amounts. And it is a website that sells filters. It's a retail site. So I didn't see that the articles that were attached at the end of that had any base in scientific research. And I couldn't agree with that. So I just wanted to correct what I perceived as incorrect information, rejected information that was in that email. and have it for the record. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right. Then it's 5:54 and adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Thank you.